good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on your Christian Community Station Missionary Radio. And of course, a cool Monday morning, 35 degrees, some fog and a little bit of frost this morning.
A little bit of frost.
And Brother David Tucker and Brother Joe Barner in with us this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Yeah, I noticed a number of frosty roofs.
Yes.
On the way in.
Indeed.
It was a little frosty this morning as I come out at 4
o'clock. So what's the difference
o'clock?
Between frost and killing frost?
I don't know. What is the difference? Does it have to be a lot colder?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Probably has to do with how cold the frost is and how long it lasts.
We are clearly not the almanac.
Yeah. I'm going to say. But now, foggy-wise, this morning coming in from on 6880, as I mentioned earlier, it was very, very thick. Yep. So I was driving really, really slow.
Absolutely.
So you couldn't see how colorful the leaves have gotten in the last few weeks on your way in?
I could not see.
Well, you never can on your way in.
No, it's dark. I don't see anything.
Well, with the time change coming in at a little before 7, it is light now. So.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
And you know what I messed up on this morning? And I'm just going to come right out and say it. But we forgot to set the clock back, and I look at that clock. So I'm sure I did a couple of weather forecasts and said the wrong time. So anyway, I had to apologize and say, well, yep, Brian Sidebottom's making mistakes this morning. So
he's on Eastern time this morning.
But there are people that are ahead of schedule because you have assisted them.
There you go.
That's how you got to look at that.
They're like, really, is that late?
No. Yeah, you're a blessing as always, Brian.
I'm trying.
Well, today we're going to jump into trying to find the right church. My brother Jeremy Leek from Northside Church of God just texted in and said, he said, good morning, friend. I pray you have a wonderful day. Just drove by the church and was thinking about you. And, you know, it's good friends like that that just really encourage you and bless you. And there are so many good churches that you can be a part of. And so today we're continuing that series on how do I know that the church I'm at is the right church for me to be able to do what God's called me to do. And so we're going to work on that. But I can tell you, if you go by Brother Jeremy's, you got a good church. I can endorse that wholeheartedly. But we're going to study a little more on that. We're going to be in Philippians in chapter 2.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. I'm sharing some popular scriptures this week. The entire chapter of 1 Corinthians is known as the love chapter. These two verses stand out to me. As followers of Christ, we are to show kindness and not bring attention to ourselves, but rather to Christ. I don't promote myself. I wait for the Lord to do so, if He wants. I know it's hard, but also know that the Lord loves through us. He gives us the power to love others. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
I can be having a bad day or off day and turn the radio station on and it seems like it just makes my whole day better.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Welcome back to Missionary Radio, your Christian community station. And, of course, this is the Front Porch on Monday morning.
Well, good morning. We are in the fourth part of a series that we've been doing on how to find the right church for you. A lot of folks do what they call church hopping or church shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And as they do so, generally the process is kind of like going to a mall. And do they still have malls? I think they still have malls.
Yeah,
Amazon
still,
hasn't done away with that yet, has
no,
it?
No. You still have a Clarksville Mall.
There you go. But it's a whole list of boutique stores. And as you're going through, there's one you're skipping past. There's another one you're going to stop in, but you're not going to stay. There's another one that you're going to linger in because it's more of, you know, where you're at. If I see any Harbor Freight, I'm going to be there for half a day, you know, because I want to look around the tools. But most people think of church shopping and church hopping in that regard. In other words, well, let's go in and see what they're selling. Let's see what it is that they're offering. And usually it has more to do with my preferences, what I'm interested in, than it does anything else. Many times we look for churches based on how they make us feel, right? Or whether it's connected to how we grew up. Sometimes we're in a church just simply because, well, that's where we were raised, yeah, and we never left, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all those are, you know, possible reasons, but are they biblical reasons for you to be in your church? God has created the church as called out ones, individuals who are a body of believers that are supposed to do something for him. Well, the question is, are you a part of something that God wants you to be a part of, mm-hmm, to do something that he wants you to do? That's the real question. Yeah. Now, folks always say they're praying to God about, you know, what church they need to go to.
Sure, sure.
But are they really asking God, or are they just kind of navigating their emotions? That's the real crux of the question.
Yeah.
So today, we're going to finish up by looking at the fourth thing that a church needs to be doing with you and for you if you're going to the right church. Now, I want to recap the last 3 weeks just in a real quick fashion. The first is that church is supposed to be a revelation of God in this world. So as people see the church, and by that I mean the people, not the steeple, as people see the church congregation in and amongst the community, it's supposed to be a revelation of God. The word of God, the truth of God, is supposed to be declared in that process. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to discover God through the church. So we have a couple, Andrew and Rachel Sutton, and we have sent them from our church to Utah, to the middle of Salt Lake City. And they are there to plant a church, meaning they're going to gather believers, called out ones, and they're going to seek to be a revelation in the middle of Salt Lake of the true God, the God who saves. And so that's their goal.
Yeah.
So does your church have that as a mission? Well, most people would say, yeah, oh, absolutely, I think it does.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's no question. Every church has that. So that's a pretty easy hurdle to cross. But then the next one is salvation. If the church is not seeing salvations, then the question is, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Now, I know that there are some churches, and we've been one, Joe, you and I can admit to that, of being older congregations, and you don't see as many baptisms, perhaps, as you have in the past, when it was a younger congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the reasons for that, folks, is because you're baptizing your own babies.
Yeah.
That's growing the flock by raising up the lambs, okay? And that's a good thing. That's absolutely a good thing. But if I remember right, Jesus said that you're supposed to leave the 99 and go find the one.
True.
So the question is, who are you baptizing? Not just are there baptisms, but are you reaching individuals who are lost and don't know God at all? Are you connecting to families that are disconnected from God and the church, or have never even heard of God and the church, and allowing them to hear the gospel message?
Yeah.
When we see baptisms of individuals whose lives have been broken and they're coming back to God from a long hiatus away from him, or they are coming to God for the first time, that is a powerful, powerful moment. And that's what life looks like. Yeah. So is your church a revelation? Is your church a place of salvation? If it's not, if it's not a place of birth, new birth, then it's a place of death. The church is dying.
Yeah.
If you're not baptizing, you really are dying. And then, of course, the third one is one we talked about last week, and that is a place of regeneration. This should be a place, a church should be a place, where the Holy Spirit encourages and empowers you to do the things that God has called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so in your church, do you feel fed? That's normally the phrase that's used. Well, I don't feel like I'm getting fed at that church. And I think last week we talked about the fact that I had a member who came to our church and said, you know, the other church was a good church, but I wasn't any different.
Yeah.
Or I didn't know any more after I left church than when I came in.
Yeah.
And so they wanted something that would push them theologically and spiritually, to grow them as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the church is supposed to do. And so that piece of it, the Holy Spirit empowerment, and we even got into the concept of baptism of tongues and the Holy Spirit movement mm-hmm. within the service. But there should be the movement of the Holy Spirit in that church. Mm-hmm. And if you don't walk out a little lighter than you came in with the empowerment of the Spirit, then, yeah, you're not being regenerated in that process, and you need to be in a place where that occurs. But now here comes the last piece, and it's the piece that lays on our shoulders. There's no way to excuse this. I can't say, well, you know, the pastor's not doing his job, or the church isn't, choir isn't singing what it's supposed to sing, or whatever else. The issue is this a process of sanctification? So regeneration is one thing, the empowerment of the Spirit. Sanctification is our side of that coin. That's where we are called to engage wholly and completely into the work of God. Because God doesn't just want to empower us. He wants to empower us to do what he's called us to do. Yeah. And so we have a passage over in Philippians in chapter 2, and this is a long lead up to a passage, I will admit. But there in chapter 2, in verse 12, there's a singular verse, and folks have heard it quoted many, many times, but we don't read it necessarily in its context, and we don't see it as a statement to those in the congregation of God as to what the church should be about. So let's look at it from that perspective. And Joe, if you would, read verse 12 there.
Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
There it is. Very simple. It's a straight-up statement, and the phrase is simple, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So, first question I'm going to throw out with the time that we've got is, does he mean by that I need to earn my salvation, that I've got to work in order to be saved?
Well, that's certainly not what Paul said in Ephesians 2.
Okay.
He said, you know, by grace are you saved through faith, mm-hmm. and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God,
absolutely.
Not of works, lest anyone should boast. But then in Ephesians 2, he goes on to say, mm-hmm. you are saved for a purpose.
That's right.
You are God's workmanship. Mm-hmm. He's got a job for you.
Created for good works, which he prepared beforehand for you to do.
Yeah.
And so it is not that we are working to earn the salvation, necessarily even to keep the salvation. It's not like, you know, we're fumbling with it and we're afraid it's going to drop. He's saying you need to work out your salvation. In other words, you need to shape your saved life into the image of Christ. Here's why we miss the mark in this. The concept is that work always has a wage, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this and I'm going to earn X. Mm-hmm. That's not where Paul is actually speaking this passage. So, Joe, if you would, go back up there to verse 5 and just maybe read verses 5 through 8.
In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross.
So the passage goes on, and he again speaks about Jesus vividly, and it's beautiful. And he's speaking to a church. And what he's saying is, listen, Jesus came to this earth and he is, I would say, fully saved, okay? There's nobody more saved than Jesus.
That's right.
Okay?
Nobody more saved than the Savior.
That's right.
So it's not a matter of him working out being saved. What it is because of being who he is, God has a trajectory for his life. And what's that trajectory? Well, it's the cross.
Amen.
He is moving towards this point of sacrifice. And so when Paul says, work out your salvation, what he's saying is, I want you to move towards the sacrifice God has called for you. I want you to move towards that image of Christ. And so we'll talk about that further, about how your church should be moving you that direction and how you should be engaging it. But first, we're going to hear from some really encouraging folks with Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you for your faithfulness and for God's faithfulness in staying on the air so that others may hear. From Hopkinsville, thank God he keeps providing for Missionary Radio. I pray that many will hear the good news of Jesus Christ and put their faith in Him. Also from Clarksville, I start every day with you. You are my traveling companion. What a mission field you serve. And from Katie's, thank you for all you do. We love listening.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Community station, and of course, this is the Front Porch. I want to throw a quick reminder out before we get back. Of course, available on our website, missionary.radio, we have podcasts available of the Front Porch. True. So if you miss any of the Front Porches, you can go back and listen. Now, they might not be right there soon. You know, it takes a few days to get it together, but you can go back and listen to some of the past broadcast.
Or if you hear part of one, maybe on your way to work.
There you go.
And you can't hear the end of it.
You want to catch it? You can do that. And, of course, you can also catch it on Spotify, Amazon Podcast, and Apple Podcast as well. So,
if you had told me that someday I would ever have a voice on any of those platforms, I would
like,
say, you're
never,
crazy.
Never.
I have no
But
idea.
Now you do.
I tell you what, modernization stays its hand for no man.
There you go.
Time marches on.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're talking today, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because this is really the end of a four-part series. We started 4 weeks ago with church shopping sessions, and how do we do it biblically? Mm-hmm. If you're going to go church hopping or church shopping, you need to do it scripturally, not based on just
feelings.
Whatever's willy-nilly in your heart,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And so today is the last of that series, and we're talking about the concept of sanctification. Now, the purpose of the church is revelation, it's salvation, it's the regeneration of the soul, and then it's the sanctification of your life. Your life should become more and more sanctified. Now, a lot of folks shy away from that term. What do you mean holier than thou? I don't want to be that, right? That's not what sanctified means. Sanctified means to be more and more in the image of Christ. So the verse we're using, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, says you should work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So the concept of fear and trembling always leads people to think, well, if I don't do it right, then I lose my salvation, or I lose, you know, my relationship with God, or whatever else. Actually, when you hear that term, fear and trembling, let me read it to you from the Amplified Version. It says, "So then, my dear ones, just as you always have obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation, that is, cultivate it, bring it to full effect, actively pursue it to spiritual maturity, with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ." Now, that's a mouthful. But what the Amplified Version does is it takes the Greek and it says, okay, so all the different meanings of these terms, let's apply them in this way. And so what you can hear in that verse is that when he says you need to work out your salvation. What he's saying is you want to pursue that relationship with Christ with a passion and a zeal. You don't want to let anything get in the way of that. And so my number one goal is to become more and more Christ-like every day. And what he's saying for the church, and this is for the church as a whole, is you're supposed to be becoming more and more Christ-like every day. And so the church should be pushing everyone to be less of themselves and more of him. Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
I was just thinking last night you were teaching on the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
You were talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and really that's what the Holy Spirit builds in us. Mm-hmm. Here Paul is coming from the perspective of not so much what the Spirit is doing, but not resisting.
Right.
Rather cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is working out in us. He's mm-hmm. wanting to make us more like Jesus.
Absolutely. I love the way you just phrased that. Cooperate with him. He's doing his work. That's the regeneration. But sanctification is us giving him that access. We have to have that openness to allow him to move us in that way. Is that sometimes a painful process, Joe?
Well, it can be, yeah.
Absolutely it can be. The whole point of sanctification is to become more and more like Christ. And if we use it in context, the Scripture says, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but rather made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself again and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus starts
That's
off—
That's excruciatingly painful.
Yeah, in a really good position, and he keeps just peeling away the things that he has a right to because he wants to be obedient to God, the Father. And that's what we do with the Holy Spirit. I love the way you phrase that, Joe, is that I give him access. I give him permission. I give him permission to peel away the things in my life that are not him and are not desirous of him. Mm-hmm. And so to do that is not easy. To say that you walk out of church and you just are always uplifted. I've always been encouraged. I'm just always happy. And they say, and I heard this, I don't know how many times with church growth specialists, they say, every parent's going to ask their child when the child leaves the church, not what did you learn about Jesus, but did you have fun?
Yes.
Did you have fun? Did you like it? Well, you know what? Church ain't about just having fun and liking it. Now, I know that sounds like
we're different. We're different. We always ask the girls after Sunday school, after church, what did you learn today?
Good. That's excellent.
We do. What did you learn today? If you didn't learn something, then something's wrong.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
because the regeneration, the revelation, salvation options, all of those things should be bringing something to your life.
Absolutely.
But as it's brought to your life, it also, and one of the things that I've done recently, I think I've done it for a while, but I think, and Joe, you tell me if I'm wrong on this, I think in my prayers, a lot of times when I pray before the sermon, I will say, God, let us not only hear you, but then respond.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let us respond to your call. Don't let us walk out of here the same way we came in.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can be in the right church,
mm-hmm.
and when you leave that service, you're not feeling better.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. You're feeling, well, look, God, I've got to let you work on some things in my life to get where I need to be.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. That is so true. And I've heard the term many, many times. Folks will say, well, I feel like you're judging me. No. If you feel judgment and I've done my job correctly, okay, it should not be me that's judging you. You should have heard the Word of God.
Yes.
And if the Word of God judges what you're doing, listen, I can't contain that or control that. So there's a thing that I had to do, and it was years ago when I was in the ministry and started preaching, is I had to quit apologizing for God. I would do a sermon, and I would know that somebody in the congregation was enwrapped in whatever that situation was. And I would go to them after the service because I never wanted to be personal in my attacks. So I would go to that person and I would say, listen, I want you to know that I wasn't thinking about you or focusing on you as I was preaching on this message.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized as I was doing that, what I was doing is apologizing for God, knowing that they're in this situation, knowing mm-hmm. that God is using this message and addressing that situation. I'm then going over and saying, yeah, but God's not really talking to you. You know, this wasn't really God that was saying this. And quite literally, and this is a true story, this is not preacher made up extrapolation. I had a young lady who was married, and she began to cheat on her husband. Mm-hmm. And the husband came brokenhearted to me, and I began to try to counsel with him and with her. And I told her, I said, you know, there's no way that the scripture says you cheating on your husband is anything but sin.
Yeah.
And she felt like I was condemning her and judging her for whatever. And she left the church. Well, her family still went to the church where I was at. This is yeah. not the church I'm at now. It's a different church. Her family still went to the church where I'm at. And so she kept coming on occasions, special occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a sermon calendar. I do it 3 months in advance. So I pick out subjects, topics, scriptures, on down the line. And it's no lie. I think it was the last 2 and 3 times that she came to be a part of the church.
That's what your topic was.
That was my topic. It was my topic every time. And so I began to realize, God, you know, she's going to feel like I'm pounding her. I am not. I'm working out a calendar. And she arrives on the day that I'm going to speak on that topic. That's God saying, my dear child, my daughter, what you're doing with your life is hurting you and it's hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to stop it.
Yep.
And so he was driving that thing home, and I'd go another, you know, I don't know, half a year, not touching the topic. I'd bring it back, and here she'd walk in the door, you know? And I just thought, Lord, I feel guilty, but mm-hmm. I had to let that go.
Yeah.
Because that's the purpose of the church.
Yes.
It's supposed to strip away the things that need to be stripped away.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk more about that. But first, we're going to hear some really encouraging words from Johnny Erickson Tada.
Welcome to Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope. Today, Johnny has an interesting observation.
Our Abba Heavenly Father Daddy, who is totally invested in the spiritual battles that his children face every day. God is a warrior, a daddy warrior, who fights hard on behalf of his children, you and me. And when I am in a tough spiritual battle, mostly against those irksome demons that harass me constantly, you know, harassing spirits of discouragement, lying spirits, or even battling against false guilt over past sins that I know have been forgiven and forgotten. When those battles start raging in my heart, when the spiritual bullets start zinging by me, I appeal to my Abba Daddy Heavenly Father warrior. I know the enemy will try to divide and conquer. He'll try to separate me from Jesus, tempting me to think that God is off somewhere listening to the prayers of more obedient Christians, or that he's busy taking care of someone else's separation or divorce, or that God is off in the Middle East fulfilling biblical prophecy, or whatever. But I know well enough to even recognize that is a lie. And so, I'll come up with Psalm 143 and pray insistently, O Lord, in your mercy, put an end to my haters and send destruction on all those who are against my soul, for I am your servant. Man, I love that verse. Because the psalmist is not just talking about, you know, the Philistines or the Amalekites or the Midianites. No, he's talking about the father of all those pagan nations, Satan himself. Satan and his miserable minions. And it's so comforting, so encouraging, so incredibly reassuring that our Heavenly Father, our Daddy Warrior, immediately jumps right in the ring with us when we cry out to him. I mean, all we need to do is cry out. And he's gone before us. He's landing a knockout blow to the enemy. And why wouldn't he? He's the father of all compassion. Your father, your daddy, your defender. And just listen to the way he loves you and fights for you when you're discouraged and feeling overwhelmed. Zechariah chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, I love this. God says to you, quote, "Whoever touches you touches the apple of my eye, and I will surely raise my hand against them." Love that. The New Living Translation states it as, quote, "Anybody who harms you harms my most precious possession, and I will raise my fist to crush them." And here's the way the Message paraphrases it. God says, quote, "Anyone who hits you hits me, bloodies my nose and blackens my eye. They will be stripped down and thrown out." Whoa. What a picture of fierce loyalty and protection. God is the one who fights every battle for you. You are loved beyond measure, and you will never have to face a battle alone. Look, you and I both know that the spiritual battle is getting harder and hotter. It's getting fiercer and more serious. It sometimes feels like all the forces of darkness are marshaled against you, doesn't it? And yes, you find yourself falling easily for the trap that tells you that God is off somewhere, he's non-caring, he's not that interested in your struggles. Well, as you fight against guilt or temptation or a complaining spirit or selfishness, as you battle against pride or self-importance, as you fight the good fight, and a fight against any sin is a good fight, God's got his gloves on, because you're the apple of his eye, and any dark demon that tries to raise its hand against you, his most precious possession, is going to feel the knockout blow from your heavenly Father. Because the God of Zechariah, your God, is a warrior who loves to obliterate your adversary. So just count on him.
Whether you're a new listener or have listened for over 40 years, we appreciate you. We're 100% listener-funded missionary radio in partnership with TWR. One of the ways to assure that missionary radio is funded is to join the Firm Friend Club. The Firm Friend Club is a monthly automatic bank draft from your account to ours in the amount you choose. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, and download the required documents. If you don't have access to the internet, please call 877-885-9655 and we will mail those to you. You can also give with your credit or debit card by giving through Cornerstone Payment System at missionary.radio. You may set up a recurring gift through Cornerstone Payment System. We are grateful for your prayers and financial gifts to 100% listener-funded missionary radio and online at missionary.radio.
Missionary Radio. I love that phrase, let faith move you.
Yes.
Because that's what we're talking about, mm-hmm. is the concept of sanctification. And Job put it in really beautiful terminology, which is I'm allowing or I'm giving invitation to the Spirit.
Cooperating with the Spirit.
That's it. You're going to do what you need to in my life, and I'm going to give over my life for you to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a painful process in many respects. But if you're in the right church and you're shopping for the right church, you're looking for the right church, you need to not just always be encouraged and blessed. What you need is to be challenged. Mm-hmm. And that challenge doesn't come from a preacher saying, hey, I think you're not living like you ought to. That challenge needs to come from the Spirit convicting what's in your life. And Dale, my brother at our church, he'll say things to me like when he's in a quartet and he goes and does concerts, and he'll catch me before service starts as he's heading out from Sunday school, and he'll say, hey, step on their toes today because I ain't going to be there. You know, and people do say that a lot. Hey, you know, preacher, step on their toes or step on my toes, whatever you want to say. Actually, that's not my job.
Yeah.
My job is not to step on your toes. My job is to make sure that I don't ever diminish the Scripture from stepping on your toes. So if it hurts, but it's the Scripture that's hurting you,
it's the Holy Spirit working on you.
There you go.
Right, right.
You've got to respond to that. And so if you're in the right church, there should be points of real conviction. There should be points of real repentance. There should be points of tears and sorrow. We just had a recent convention or association meeting where Brother Darrell from Living Hope Baptist Church, really good preacher, and he got up and he's looking at all this room filled with preachers, and he says, "When's the last time you were weeping over the lost souls that are going to hell in our city and in our county?" Mm. And he said it with conviction. He said it with power.
Darrell Crawford.
That's right. Darrell Crawford over at Living Hope. And when he said it, I mean, all the guys, all the preachers, they were stricken to the heart.
Sure. You know?
And Darrell wasn't lifting himself up and pointing his finger at us. He was saying, "I remember, you know, just recently that God broke me to this place. When's the last time God broke you in this way?" And I think about every preacher that had any kind of soul walked out of that meeting saying, "Man, I've got to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. I need to give more cooperation to the Spirit and affirmation to God, you take away whatever you got to take away.
Let me shed some tears.
But let me shed tears over these lost souls." And I still remember Billy Russell when he said the same thing right there at the altar. And the whole church listened. And the whole church was moved. You know, when we allow the sanctification process to begin to work in our life, and by sanctification, I don't mean you're holier than thou. I mean you begin to walk and talk with the heart of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Just really quickly, I don't want to spend too much time because we're short, but the verses that follow, verse 12, are condemning for most churches. So, Joe, if you would, read verses 13 down through, we'll say, 18.
Let me read it with the context, verse 12 again, connected all together. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, comma, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ Jesus, I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me."
So as the Apostle Paul is writing here and he tells them, "I want you to work out your salvation," in other words, sanctification, get more and more like Jesus. The first thing he says is the most condemning statement for any church I've ever known. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. What's the one thing the church is unfortunately so known for?
Grumbling and arguing.
Grumbling and arguing.
Exactly. And so,
complaining.
If we as the church are in the right place doing the right thing as God has asked us to do, that should be diminishing. That should be dying out within the congregation. And so, honestly, if you're working out your salvation as an individual, you say, "Well, you don't know the kind of people I have to sit in the pew with," right? It's not about them.
That's right.
It's about you.
Yes.
You can't work out their salvation. You have to work out your own. And so if I'm looking for the right church, I'm looking for a church that gives me the revelation of God. It tells me that God is there. It gives me the salvation of God. It offers me new life in Christ. It gives me the regeneration of God through the Holy Spirit. It empowers me to do things that I wouldn't be able to do on my own. I get fed and I grow spiritually. But then, and this is the important piece, I change.
Mm.
I become different because I'm listening to that revelation. I'm living in that salvation. I'm being regenerated by that Spirit's power. And I begin to peel away the things that God says I don't need. And I become more and more like Jesus as he leads me in that process. If you're in a church that's doing all those things, I don't care what the music is. I don't care who the preacher is. Now, I don't care whether you have Sunday school or life groups or whether you have coffee that's allowed in the sanctuary or coffee that's not allowed in the sanctuary. I could care less. But if you're hearing the true revelation of God, you're seeing the real salvation of God, you're feeling the real regeneration of God, and you're getting challenged to let go and let God have more of your life, and you have less control of it, then you're in the right place. And that's a place where you need to grow and engage. So how do I do that when I'm church shopping? I have a very short window here, so I'm going to speak quick. If you're church shopping, most people will go to a church at 11 o'clock on a Sunday for the main worship service because it is the most anonymous time for you to walk in. Okay? You want to go into the church where you're not going to be pushed by anybody, you know, engaged too heavily by somebody. You still want to have your hand shaked. You want to be hugged, but you also don't want to be pushed, and you don't want to be recognized. And so it's really this fine balance that everybody says, well, I just didn't get what I needed. You know what? What you need is so complicated, no church is ever going to provide it. When you go at 11 o'clock, you're not seeing the church. You're seeing the worship of the church, and it can give you an idea of it, but that's not the church. You want to see the church? Go to small group, life group, Sunday school, wherever the smaller gatherings are, and you'll start to see the church. You want to hear the best gossip? Go to Sunday school. That's where the gossip's going to be. I'm telling you. That's where the morsels are.
Those are prayer requests, Brother David.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. If you want to hear the concerns of the church, then go to the business meetings. If you want to hear the real heartbeat of the church, go to a Wednesday night study or a midweek study or a Sunday night study. You go on the off hours when the core of the church, when the soul of the church is on display, that's going to show you who they are. But if you go at 11 and you're sitting in worship, what you're getting is their very best presentation. Think of 11 o'clock service as first date syndrome, okay, when you're looking for a marriage, okay? You can't have the idea that you know what this church is about if all you see is 11 o'clock on a Sunday. You're seeing their very best face. So if you're looking for a church of revelation, salvation, regeneration, and sanctification, don't just go on Sunday morning. Make sure that you go for about a month to their small groups, to their Bible studies, to their gatherings, and hear the heart of the church, see the walk of the church, and see if those four things are found in the church. And if they are, then you may have just found the buy of the century in your church shop. And I hope that you engage with them and grow with them and become a part of them wherever they're at.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, your community station. And join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.